Am I going to do the little silly, hey, good to be here, thanks for having me type of thing?
Yeah, if you want to. You don't have to.
You want me to just acknowledge the, you know, I'm all for the spontaneous, unscripted, authentic stuff.
Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez Labrette and Micah Gadia.
Welcome to The Missing Link. My name is Jabez Labrette, your host, and I am joined by the incredible, awesome, fantastic co-host, Micah Gadia. Welcome.
Thank you, Jabez. Thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited. This is a good episode we got today.
I know. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we've got a good friend of mine, JD, on the line, who we're going to be talking about thought leadership from, I think, kind of more of a everyday, all of us that are in the middle of this heap that are not influencers. You know, like we had Steve Anderson on the show a few episodes ago, and he's fantastic. But, you know, I think people pointed out some important things. You know, it is when you're an influencer, you get a little bit different access. But, man, tonight we are in for a treat. And I will let JD do some explanation on how we got here today, but there is that conversation that's going on in our group, which is fantastic. I actually got stumped on one of the questions in the group.
We have so many from beginners to advanced that are, you know, asking all the hard questions. We've got some great people in there answering them as well, though. So I love jumping in there every day to see what's going on. And we do. We have action every single day. So I love our Missing Link LinkedIn group.
It's a speakeasy group. It's a speaker group. You can only get in there one way.
And you got to know how.
You got to know how.
I'm going to tell them right now to that.
Yeah, it's some texting thing. Right?
Yes, like
you're really the expert at getting people in the door.
I hope so. I'm trying. I'm working hard to do the best I can. So, I hope that you'll join us. And if you are in the continental United States, the way you'll join us is you will text us on your mobile device and you'll text 41411. And that keyword will be my link, MYLINK. And I always like to remind you that you have to take out that space because it will autocorrect. And if you are outside of the continental United States, and we just welcomed two new members today, you will email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And it's that easy, literally.
That is fantastic. And what do they find in the group? I think sometimes we don't really talk about what's going on in the group. And so tell everybody, all the listeners that are new, what the group is for.
So the group, number one, every week you will get the show posted when the show is released on Wednesdays. And so that update is always in there every single week. And that's the featured show. So you'll see that at the top, each of our podcast show for that week. Other than that, you will find articles that people find that are valuable around LinkedIn. So, you know, you'll find J.D. Gershfein will be in there very, very soon, actually. And then you'll find questions that people are asking. And you'll find interesting little quips that people are talking about for LinkedIn specifically. Yeah, all of the comments and discussions that happen underneath there. So people are asking about transcripts on the podcast. I mean, that's one thing that came up. We're talking about endorsements. A lot of people ask about in-mail. Yesterday, I think, I forget who it was asking about LinkedIn groups and how to create more activity and engagement within a group. And so, you know, there's already 6 comments on that discussion.
Apparently run a podcast. That's the answer. No, I'm just kidding. All right. On to today's topic at hand. We're talking about a little different take on thought leadership from a good friend of mine and someone who I feel is arguably one of the most knowledgeable LinkedIn folks out there. J.D. Gershbein is going to be joining us as soon as we get back from a quick shout out from our sponsors.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back to The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret, your host. We have Micah Gadea on the line and J.D. Gershbein. J.D., how's it going, man?
I'm fine and dandy, folks. Thanks for asking. There's no place I'd rather be than with you two here tonight.
Oh, aww. Stop. You're too good. Too kind. Too kind. You know, JD and I actually...
Have I oversold it? Sorry.
No, not at all. We actually met on LinkedIn.
I love that you told this story. This is the story that you told with the... Yep. I love it. Well, I'm so excited. I feel like it's almost IRL in real life.
I mean, it started off and then we ended up in Chicago where JD is, and he was speaking at an event about LinkedIn, and I happened to also be in Chicago, and we had met months prior on LinkedIn, and I just think that that's kind of fantastic. It's an amazing circle here of just kind of how far that was years ago. I mean, that must have been 5 or 6 years ago at least.
Maybe there's something to this LinkedIn site after all, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's new. I hear it's new. I don't know about this LinkedIn thing. But JD, so give us a little bit, give the listeners just a little background on kind of what you do, because I think it's important to today's topic and what we're talking about when it comes to thought leadership, and that, you know, you're not just a user of LinkedIn, but you're actually kind of almost a studier of LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so, Jabez and Micah. I feel that at this stage of the game, as we take this, I'm at nearly a decade of full immersion work into LinkedIn, which means that I've sunk almost 20% of my life into this website. And for me, what I've learned about myself, which has made me become a better professional, it's not just about trying to be the smartest person in the room when it comes to LinkedIn. I mean, my gosh, you look out in the LinkedIn space and self-declared LinkedIn experts and thought leaders and gurus are coming out of the woodwork right now. I was there at a time when there were very few of us and we all knew who each other was in the world. And it was back in the day when nobody was outsourcing any LinkedIn profiles. Nobody was bringing me in to train their teams on best practices on LinkedIn. We were all just kind of figuring it out. And I've spent a lot more time than most trying to figure it out. And today I feel I'm much more mature. I'm much more agile. And as a social business psychologist, I offer competitive advantage to the folks I serve and the audiences in front of whom I speak by just bringing the human condition online into what I do. I've really observed LinkedIn very carefully, and through helping people find their brand or actually cultivate their narrative for their LinkedIn profiles, I've really learned a lot about myself, and I feel I'm even better equipped than I used to be in explaining LinkedIn. And now with LinkedIn becoming this vibrant visual medium, and it's very complex, becoming more difficult to explain, and there's greater responsibility on people in my space to teach it to others. Very, very difficult to teach LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Now, so you talked about visuals, and I noticed the last article that you just published on Pulse caught my attention. What's with all the bikinis on LinkedIn?
Yep.
tell us what is going on here.
And that's a perfect example of the human condition going online. I think for years we were hearing that LinkedIn was this austere, politically correct forum where you had to post content about business. Your business or someone else's business, or share articles, or do what's right. Do what comes under the general heading of best practice. So a young lady, Candace Gallick, an entrepreneur from South Florida, posted very provocative photos of women in bikinis, which was a first for LinkedIn. And there was a feeding frenzy online. And she was castigated by some. She was applauded by others. But it was a best practice, a best use of LinkedIn because, well, she just happens to be in the designer swimwear business. And she was doing anything that anybody would do to market their business on LinkedIn. And it was unprecedented, quite frankly. And I wanted to write about it. I thought it was important for LinkedIn Nation to understand that it's not just about sometimes doing what's expected of us, that we are human beings in business, that we're kind of all swimming in the goldfish together. And when someone, or I'm sorry, in the fishbowl together, and then when somebody does make a movement or, I mean, literally shifting the landscape.
Yeah, step outside of the norm.
It was a tectonic shift of the landscape.
Yeah.
It really,
yeah.
really was. And a lot of people came in. She's actually built an incredible community around this as well. I mean, every time she posts now, whether it's on bikinis or not,
right.
she's got a huge amount of engagement on her posts. So here's the example. Here's the lesson. Thought leadership. What is it? How is it achieved? Do you self-declare? Are you anointed a thought leader? How does one get recognized as a thought leader?
I thought you just
and
had to say it out loud three times in front of a mirror.
I think
am
you
I
do.
Wrong?
I think
that
you
not,
basically
do.
You have
how
to,
you do this?
You have to convince yourself that.
Dang it.
You have to convince yourself that you are that person. But or actually, you're at the crossroads and you're asking a devil-like form to grant you thought leadership in exchange for your soul. But
minor price
I think
okay.
that absolutely. But I think that we're seeing a microcosm of what's really happening in LinkedIn with this story. It's a good teaching lesson because more and more people want something now out of their business. And we're in an age where there's so much value creation and professional development. And it's the age of the consultant, coach, slash actress, slash dancer. Everybody's multi-talented. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got perspective. Everybody's writing content. And it's the wild, wild west out there to try to get heard and noticed and win
yes.
business through your content, through your perspective.
Does being heard play a role in the development of leadership? I mean, is that possibly part of it? Is not just your ability to be able to say something, but to actually have people interact and listen?
I think so. I think there's a difference between thought leader and thought reader. And there's so many people out there espousing notions and advancing perspectives. Who's really behind the original thought? And what I try to do, what I've done in my own business is I advance a perspective that's exemplary, that's original, and that's my very own. And I put it out there in a way that's authentic and transparent, and people can see that I'm the source. And I engage with people on a level that's important to them. I'm not interested in working with anybody. I don't think anybody out there should be interested in working with everybody. But we want to work with people who know us, like us, get us. And advancing toward a position of thought leadership is no different than doing anything else well in business. We're putting out a quality work product, but we get noticed and we get associated and we get linked, no pun intended, or pun intended, with our
right,
product,
get linked
service
in with
niche
our product
or company.
Service.
I just want to piggyback on that. My favorite part of your profile as I'm going through it, which is phenomenal, is the word depth. You know, as you're talking about creating
okay.
you, but you mentioned the word depth, and I was really struck by that because I see you have video, you have these incredible, you know, text and, you know, how to contact, advice for you, experience. And you do have an incredibly deep profile. So I do invite everybody to take a look at JD's profile just to see what it looks like to have it completely chock full of valuable information just right there available.
So here's a super big insider tip for our audience.
Mm.
I personally learned how to write my profile from JD.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise
so,
me. It's
wow.
incredible.
So I consider JD one of the fundamental components of understanding, I think, the psychology and the neuro, you know, neuroscience behind the LinkedIn user. And that's part of his background mm-hmm. is understanding that. And it shaped the information that he shared, which I agree, Micah, depth is a good word. And it does explain JD's position very well. He spends a good amount of time and effort. And, you know, and I don't want to gloss over that. We talk about how it's important to spend time on these things. Like you need to spend time on content. You need to spend time on, you know, placing that content, you know, repurposing your content. But another thing that you mentioned at the very beginning, JD, is that you've invested a lot of time into learning LinkedIn. It just so happens this is your mm-hmm. your business, you know, understanding LinkedIn as part of your business. And, you know, mm-hmm. for me, it's understanding the legal profession, right? For, you know, others out there, they have their own businesses or you know, their own projects that they work on or things that they're passionate about. And it's not just once I get good enough to get noticed, I should just start spouting off and stop learning. You have
right.
to keep diving and diving deeper and deeper and deeper into your subject matter in order to get to that point where you're going to be considered, you know, a thought leader. And I don't know, right. Would you say that that you need to put a stake in the ground at some point in time? Because part of what you said is that you don't want to work with everybody. To me, that sounds kind of like I need to take a position, or like I need to put a stake in the ground and say, this is what I believe or what I stand for. Is that fair to say about thought leadership, that's important or not important?
I think so. I know where you're heading with this. And I also think that individuals, just like companies, can create cultures around their brand. And this was the subject of my TED Talk back in April 2015, where I truly felt that our stories and the manner in which we tell them are what differentiate us. That was the opening line of my talk. And I mean, it almost came to me serendipitously, but it really is the case. I mean, for many years, folks, I was speaking, and for early on in my speaking career, I was not getting paid to speak. So a lot of what I did was shoveling manure so that a flower could grow. And as the flower grew, I continuously reinvented. I continuously adapted. I continuously communicated. And in my case now, my story has become a differentiator. It has truly set me apart from others in my space, and it should for others in their space. And it gives you a unique viewpoint. Thought leadership is nothing more than embracing and advancing a unique viewpoint, getting recognized for it, being associated with it, and leading people to wisdom, moving people to someplace better. And my whole thing right now, my whole essence of helping professionals in all walks of business is, as long as they have an opportunity orientation, they're willing to cultivate their narrative, they're willing to do the deep branding work, as I call it, go deep with me, they have potential to become thought leaders. And they become thought leaders by being recognized first in their community and then external to their tribe. Starts within, moves outward. It's along the lines of the influencer, as you alluded to beginning our podcast here. But at the same time, thought leadership is intrinsic. It's externalized in front of people. They make the decision as to whether or not you truly are a leader in this area. And ideally, they gravitate to you. Ideally, you're having an effect on them. And ideally, they communicate that effect to you. So it is
kind of like branding forward. In a sense, right? Like that it's other people's definition of you is whether you are or not a thought leader. It's not you just declaring you are.
Right.
I never self-declared. For the record, I have never, ever self-declared as any of those self-aggrandizing titles. Now, I help people on that path, on that journey. I'm kind of subscribing to the whole journey speak these days. Everything has been a journey. Everything will be a journey. We're on the journey until we don't have the opportunity to be on the journey. So for me, it's what have I learned? What am I learning now? What's my vision for the future? How do I help people mold their vision into a more cohesive whole and advance toward it? So the final piece was on the thought leadership end. Again, you start to create this experience around your personal brand. You begin to be clustered along with your associations, your core values, and what you stand for. And that's how you build the brand of thought leadership. Thought leadership is a brand. It most definitely is. Does it lead to revenue? Ideally, I think that's why people follow the trail of thought leadership. They want to be known as subject matter experts, as tops in their field, as the go-to resource, et cetera. Insert cliche here. But at the same time, when you feel it and you know it, it's competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's I love the idea that, you know, thought leadership is the development of your story. It's understanding your core values. I mean, to me, this sounds a lot like what we do with our companies. You know, so I think of my company, and we have core values that are written down that represent mm-hmm. what does our company stand for. And it wouldn't be a bad idea, if you're heading down the thought leadership track, to take a moment and step back and do a little business planning on this. I mean, I'm not talking about writing out a full business plan, but, you know, what is your vision? What are your objectives? What are your core values? You know, what do you stand for? And using those as a bellwether. I was thinking, as you're talking about creating a story, you have to be able to create your story. And I was getting concerned that I was like, how do you know if your story is the right story? Like, what if you're not creating your right story? Like, I was just, you know, listening, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, who, what if the person's going the wrong direction? And you answer the question without even knowing it by saying, you know, you got to have your core values in line so that you, that thought leadership and that positioning and that brand align with your core values. There's your answer. If you're worried about whether or not, you know, where to go on the journey, the core values are what keep in line,
yep,
the compass in really
in
a direction that just really jumped out at me. I love that stuff.
And that's readily observable by people too. I think when you are conscientious and you are truly elevating within your tribe, you get noticed. And more now we're seeing people who are desirous of that movement. They're not posting monotonous, insane stuff on LinkedIn. They're posting stuff that's really persistent, or they're being persistent in posting, and it's congruent with their business. The motifs that they use, the designs that they use, the text that they use, the sharing devices that they use. They're creating their thought leadership through content. Real quickly, if I may backtrack, the thought leadership movement is something that I've studied at length, and I really feel it is a movement. I call it the thought leadership movement. It is spawned from the social media revolution. And there's three sub-movements of the thought leadership movement. The first is brand storytelling, which we hear a lot about right now. I mean, everybody is, I think the onus is on us to be storytellers. If you count the number of times we've all mentioned story here in this podcast, it's getting up there. Brand storytelling is the responsibility of us all. We have to cultivate our narrative. We have to find it, develop it, refine it, keep living it. The second piece is content marketing. We really do create thought leadership through the content that we disseminate, that which we produce, that which we stand behind, that which we put out there for public consumption. And then the third piece, we had brand storytelling, then we had content marketing, then we get to live our story in front of the networks that we've built. Community management. We are all tasked with the community managers. This is the hardest piece of all, folks, because throughout the years, as more and more people have built these networks, they look at them and they can't really track the names, the faces, the identities behind it. So we are now kind of trying to leverage what we cannot manage. So community management, engaging with the community, getting to live your brand story out in full view of those ideally who are on the journey with you, that's how thought leadership is developed. A lot of it lies outside your control, just like personal brand development. But if you are pounding it every day, being diligent, having faith, having hope that you're reaching people and touching people and affecting people and advancing them to a better place, then you start to feel it. In my case, I truly believe that I answered a call. And I'll take the word thought off of leadership and just talk about leadership. I became a student of leadership. I wanted to lead. I felt that I could. I felt I could do a great job leading by example, which, Micah, that would explain why I've gone to such extremes to build out my profile, because I truly feel that that's leading by example. I wanted to show people what was possible on an electronic document like the LinkedIn profile, and that it truly can sell you when you're not present to sell yourself. And it has generated me so much business, I can't even begin to tell you. It's been everything. I don't know where I'd be without
it. It's gone so far beyond a resume back in the day to genuinely something I think that you can create as a catalyst for a brand, you know, which is great.
And the lesson is that somewhere out there, whatever you're doing on LinkedIn, and let's even go beyond LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, your blog, your website, when you're out in the interactive space online, there's a decision being made on you as something, whether it's a vendor, whether it's a service provider, whether it's an employee at the company, whether it's a first degree connection. Somebody is receiving you. They're making a decision as to whether or not to go forward with you in some way, whether it's to accept your invitation or sign off on your proposal, whatever the case may be. There is a decision being made out there by others on you multiple times per day. What do you got in place to help them make the decision that you would like them to make?
And that's the ultimate question right there. That's what everyone in this audience, if you are listening to this, that is the question to answer.
Yeah.
What do you want them to know about you? Why you and why now? LinkedIn allows you to make the business case for yourself. We do it on the profile. I'm in about the seventh incarnation of my profile right now. It's kind of morphed as I've morphed. It's paced with every one of my reinventions in business. But now It's designed to ideally set me up for the opportunities I want and serve as a clearinghouse for people who would just as soon kick my tires or who I couldn't serve. I really am not in the market for meeting people who are toxic. I just don't want to be around toxic personalities. Life's too short. We all want good clients, don't we? Please say yes.
It's okay to say, no, you're not right for me. And I think that you can do that in your LinkedIn profile in an effective, professional, and polite way to highlight, here's the people I want to attract, here's the people that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's That's nothing true. Wrong with that. And to what you said earlier, this is a good reminder that, hey, you got to go and look at the rest of your web presence. Although this show is about LinkedIn, there's this tiny, tiny search engine called Google, which gives people access to pretty much anything that you have online. Go check it out. Make sure that your profiles are consistent. Images are consistent. You know, the messaging is consistent, especially if you've changed directions and pivoted at all. I love the seventh reincarnation of your profile. Because that I feel the same way. Like, you know, I mean, my profile grows with me as I grow. But you can't forget the rest of your online assets.
Absolutely. Because it's a real-time snapshot of who you are. The cost of lost opportunity for failing to update your profile or not having a headshot on the page or all these little things that LinkedIn users do that militates against them and they wonder why the heck they're not getting any business. Well, value equals value. If there's value going in, there's ideally some value coming out. The more value and time you attach to what you're doing on LinkedIn, the better you prepare yourself for the opportunities you want, the more you interact and engage. I mean, everything's proactive on LinkedIn, all directly proportional to the level of energy you bring to it.
And you got to keep up with the changes. You know, I think of the LinkedIn header background image is a good example of one that I see. A lot of people don't have an image in their header background, and it's just the standard blue. LinkedIn's not the only network that's changed their format. So, you know, when it comes I'll mention Google Plus, not that anybody uses that, but there's an example of a network that's changed its background platforms. Twitter, I mean, they all change their image dimensions. You know, keep your stuff fresh. Keep it consistent. So I have one question that I love to ask every guest, and that is, if you were sitting down with a really advanced LinkedIn user, what's one piece of advice that you would give them about what's working today?
Well, if they're really, really advanced, then they're probably the one to give me advice.
humble to the end. I love it.
In other words, I've got an agile, very well-educated user here. We're having an adult beverage and we're talking LinkedIn. We're comparing notes on high-end strategy.
Yep.
Okay. Well, the one piece of advice I would offer, which has served me well since the feature came to be, is follow up with those people who view your profile and with whom you'd really like to connect.
Love it.
I like it. A little LinkedIn stalking. Reverse
simple,
stalking.
Yeah. Yeah. We forget these little tasks that, we hear about this, we hear about this, we hear about this, and we forget these little tasks. This is one of the most important ones, is your connection.
Well, we all get profile views. Ideally, some get more than others, obviously. But we all are getting attention back to us if we put it out there. And ideally, there are people who are trying to connect with you, maybe from a past employer, maybe from high school, maybe, you know, LinkedIn has become this great conduit for helping people get back in touch, especially at the start of a career or the headwaters of a business venture. So people are reviewing profiles. And I think so many people write them off as, oh, what's this person trolling my profile for?
Or this person lurking.
Professionally stalking me. Lurking, trolling. And for me, you know, I never really looked at it that way, guys. I really just kind of said, well, here's someone from the whatever industry in the greater wherever area. Well, I can't do much about that. But when I meet people who are at a level of LinkedIn where when you look at that headshot on your ledger of profile views and they're looking back at you and you're looking at them and you see what they do, and if you can corroborate it with an invitation to connect, which is even better, that's two touch points right there. Three, if you count the reciprocal profile view that you're going to pay on their profile. So now you're into three touches, very high emotional, high intellect touches, because let's not kid ourselves. Ideally, people who have been on your profile have walked away with some knowledge of you. Don't let them forget it. Follow up. Every time I've done this, I've gotten into amazing conversations that have created win-win scenarios. And with my clients, my students, my colleagues, it's it's really the only metric I care about on LinkedIn is who's viewed my profile. That's what everything I do is set up to do on LinkedIn. I want to attract traffic to my profile, but I want to attract the right traffic to my profile.
And fantastic. JD, thank you so much for taking time to help our audience, you know, maybe uncover some new things. And
if I may say in parting that there's plenty of room for as many thought leaders as cyberspace can handle. So for anybody who's downloaded this, who's listening, who's wondering if their content is being seen, who's fighting and scratching and clawing for every like or share or comment they can get, I just say just keep plying it. Keep working it. Keep asserting force on the system. Writing content and putting it out there is like throwing a message in a bottle into the ocean. You just got to keep throwing bottles into the ocean. And one day, it'll wash up on the right shore.
Love that.
And
I'm
for you
inspired.
Environmentalists listening, we say throw the electronic bottle into the electronic abyss.
There you go.
Right, I love that.
Oh, JD, as always, rock, and I do really appreciate it. And you know, people need to go there, go check out JD's profile. Do read through the profile, use it as a guide for how you should be setting up your profile for what makes sense and what's appropriate for you. You know, and if it makes sense, then you know, keep up with JD, and you know, obviously, we look forward to seeing this discussion, you know, take off in the group as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Jabez. Always great to reconnect. It's a true LinkedIn success story that I'm even on this broadcast with you. I noticed you in a group. I think we noticed each other in this group discussion. And here I see this guy saying all this smart stuff and not promoting himself. Wow. And a LinkedIn group not promoting him. And it led to an invitation. It led to a discussion. Led to this. And again, it's all about being proactive and just following through and taking initiative. Sometimes it helps. It helps create things that otherwise would not have existed.
Yep. I completely agree.
Yep.
Thanks, JD. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Hey, man.
I'm with Micah. I'm inspired and I'm motivated and I'm stoked to get out there and go take a look at my profile again and see where I can improve some stuff, you know, and keep pushing towards that thought leadership direction that we're all trying to get to.
Yeah. Thank you all.
All the best, folks.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.